Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Yes, happy Easter.
Yeah. Welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this Easter service today. And please remember to join us in Zoom right after for fellowship. And we have Safi with us today, so we look forward to seeing you there. And if you're wondering how to get there, just check your e-newsletter or weekly update. And also, if you're new to this recording and you don't know how to get to how to donate, please just check down below. If you click on Show More, you'll see all the ways that you can donate and support Unity Center of Light. And we appreciate all of your donations. So right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, April 17th, 22. The key word is Easter, and the affirmation is, through Christ I rise again. On this glorious Easter Sunday, the sun rises on the new day. I am glorious too, called to life and shining with joy because Christ is risen in me. Just as the stone was rolled away to reveal an empty tomb where Jesus' crucified body had been, I roll away the stones of all that has kept me entombed and leave my crucifixion experiences behind. Easter is the celebration of Jesus' overcoming death. It is also an invitation to celebrate my victory over all I have survived. It is a celebration of the triumph of truth, the resurrection of the Christ within. The trials of the world are temporary. Today, I roll away the stone of limitation and am resurrected into the truth of God with joy. I rise again. And the scripture reading is taken from John 12, 13, and it reads, so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Amen. And so now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So, good morning. Easter. Wow. You know, just time again, like I said last week, you're just flying by. And today we're going to talk about Easter, time to rise above. And you're going to hear a lot of things in today's talk that you have heard before, but hopefully from a different perspective. It's sort of like, you know, we're, as I like to say, circumambulating this idea of how to rise above, you know, all the things that are challenging in our lives. So, again, it's a time to rise above all of it. And that is what this spiritual journey is all about, learning and practicing what it takes to rise above it all. All being everything within us that is, as Paul said, not true, not noble, not right, not pure, not lovely, not admirable, not excellent or worthy of praise. And Paul said, this is the way to Christ consciousness. So we have all heard this before. And I don't know about you, when you think about all the things we need to do in order to reach Christ consciousness, you know, it can sound exhausting. And as much as we study how to rise above all of the stuff within us that prevents us from entering Christ consciousness, it still doesn't take away the ever-present question, how? How do we reach Christ consciousness? You know, we study, and still, you know, we have that how question in our mind. And that's why the basis for every lesson is to explore various methods and practices that, you know, have the express purpose of helping us to, you know, rise above ourselves, so to speak. So Paramahansa Yogananda, in his two-volume series, and I don't know how many people have that, but that's a good series to have. The series is, it's a two-big-volume book series, and it's called The Second Coming of the Christ, The Resurrection of the Christ Within You. And he gave these words to think about as we strive to rise above it. I'm going to go through three slides as I read this to you. So he said, a small cup cannot hold an ocean within itself. Likewise, the cup of human consciousness, limited by the physical and mental instrumentalities of material perceptions, cannot grasp the universal Christ consciousness, no matter how desirous one may try to do so. Okay? And he goes on to say, but by the definite science of meditation, known for millennium, to the yogis and sages of India and to Jesus, any seeker of God can enlarge the caliber of their consciousness to omniscience to receive within themselves the universal intelligence of God. And then he says, meditation being the practice of a profound and extended contemplation or reflection in order to achieve focused attention or an altered state of consciousness to gain insight into oneself and the world. Okay? And that is what we're going to be talking about a lot. That last part of gaining insight into ourself, okay, and into the world. You know, kind of matching the two to see if we're mirroring that or if we are coming from a whole different perspective. So, and that's what we're striving for, that being insight into this ourselves, our real self. And even though we think of meditation as being, as Jesus expressed it in Matthew 6:6, when he said, but when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father, okay? There's also the meditation practice of being continuously mindful of the thoughts, words, and actions that you formulate according to how you are perceiving and reacting to the events and circumstances you experience in your life, okay? So yeah, there's that one method, the method we know of, where you sit in a quiet place in meditation, eyes closed, you know, whatever method you use for that. But there's also this method where you remain continuously mindful of your thoughts, words, and actions, and how you are formulating those according to how you are experiencing and reacting to the events and circumstances in your life. So with today being Easter, it is fruitless to celebrate this as purely a holiday and not take the time to reflect on the potential for change that's possible within ourselves. And this is an aspect of mindful meditation, okay? Now, it is meditation with our eyes wide open, looking both within and without in sort of a cyclical manner, a cyclical being in this discussion, internal and external observation for the purpose of causing significant change within oneself. So you're sort of like looking without and then looking within and seeing how what's without is affecting within or is what within affecting without, okay? So there's this constant process. That's why it says it's a meditation, it's a walking meditation. Your eyes are wide open and you're constantly being observing what is happening within you as you are observing what's happening outside of you. And through this cyclical process of mindful internal, external observation, we begin to slowly wake up and remember who we truly are, okay? And it's interesting, you say, well, how does that help? But if you think about how we are most of the time, we're not really paying attention a lot of times to what is happening out here and how it's affecting us in here or vice versa, okay? So Easter is symbolic of the time to wake up and remember who we really are. And the Revealing Word says that Easter symbolizes our waking up to realize that in truth, we have the same mind within ourselves that was demonstrated by Jesus Christ. And through his awakening, we are raising our awareness to remember that our true self is spirit and that our true I am is the Christ. So that means that every time we use the phrase I am to describe ourselves in a negative or fearful way, okay, we are in essence demonstrating that we have forgotten who in truth we really are. That we too are the son, the daughter of the living Christ. And I love how Paramananda Yogananda explains it. He says, Christ did not go through, I love this part, he didn't go through the sublime drama of his life merely to provide sermon material for generations of preachers and their Sunday audiences. I love that part. Okay? He lived, died, and was gloriously resurrected as an inspiration to others to live a divine life and attain in themselves his experiences of God. Okay? So, on an individual level, Easter symbolizes a time for each of us to remember who we really are by attaining for ourselves our personal experiences of God by living the mindful life. Okay, so if you're constantly on this cyclical process where there's an internal, external evaluation, discernment going on, eventually you begin to wake up. We begin to wake up to the process of understanding how to live a life where we are constantly mindful of God being in our life. And for most of us, our lack of spiritual proficiency is due to the fact that we have forgotten our natural propensity, meaning our innate inclination or tendency to think, speak, and act from the love of God within us. And this is mostly due to a lack of practice, recognition, and use of the natural inclination to respond to life from love instead of not love. Okay? And to be fair to us, through the process of many different levels of indoctrination to fear, I hope you understand what I mean, through the process of many different levels of indoctrination to fear, our consciousness has been shifted into a paradigm of fear. And even when we think we are coming from love, a lot of times what we think is love is not really all that it is. And we're going to talk more about that. Matter of fact, Pam and I are watching this TV series on Prime Video. It was 9 series of it, 9 episodes, 9 seasons of it. And it's about very powerful people in the, you know, the legal business, lawyers, corporate lawyers. But what's really interesting, we're seeing a lot of the human experiences that cause us to not trust each other. I mean, really trust from an unconditional perspective, and how a lack of unconditional trust leads to the inability to feel and express unconditional love. Okay? Let me say that again. So, if we are coming from absolute trust, you know, from a unconditional perspective, it also affects our ability to express unconditional love. And even though the word paradigm may be overused, it fits well here because it means an example that serves as a pattern or model. And that's what I was saying about these multiple levels of indoctrination to fear. Okay, we've been seeing a lot of patterns and models that have indoctrinated us into a consciousness of fear. So the question for each of us to ask ourselves is, which paradigm or model of love do I subscribe to? Conditional or unconditional? Now, to the casual observer, there may appear to be no difference. You know, somebody says conditional, unconditional. The casual observer said there's no difference. Okay, they can't see any difference. Casual observers could possibly argue that love is love, and that conditional ego love has worked okay for them in their lives. Or we might even be thinking it has worked okay for us in our lives. But what I believe the human race is showing is a desire for a greater understanding of its own innate divine potential. And despite the ugliness we continuously see in the world, wow, the human race is demonstrating the need for a higher level of love. So I think every time we see something that's ugly, we also see something in the human experience of people who are trying to rise above that or help others rise above that. So all the catastrophes of the recent past 2 years have shown demonstrations of that new expanding reality. Okay, people have been coming to the aid of people. And I believe that we're seeking and desperately need a higher understanding of love in order for our humanity to survive and our spirituality to thrive. So the places that, you know, this places the truth student on a path of trying to understand love on a higher plane, love that is free of conditions. So the word trust means the belief in the reliability, trust, and strength of a notion or idea, as in, can I trust you? Or can I trust this, whatever this can be, it might be? Or can I trust God to come through? Which is the basic purpose of the scripture written in Deuteronomy 6:4, for note takers, Deuteronomy 6:4, Matthew 22:37, and Luke 10:27. And they all say it in a different way, but I've kind of paraphrased it into this. So we're talking about, you know, can I trust? You know, can I trust you? Can I trust the situation? Can I trust God? Okay, so in that, those three scriptures I just gave you, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, which is basically saying, trust, trust, trust. Okay? But see, this requires a transcendental love, meaning a love that goes beyond personal boundaries. And even though this may sound impossible, again, I say, we have seen this demonstrated in so many ways in the past 2 years. And even though we may not be inspired to express, you know, love of this nature on a community, national, global level, we can strive to practice unconditional love in our personal lives with the people we come in contact with. So as true students, our work is to strive towards a transcendent love that loves simply because that is what love is about. And as we just discussed, it starts with being able to trust, which starts with each of us being, first being trustworthy within ourselves, which means being able to be relied upon as being honest and truthful, okay? So in this TV series, you know, we're watching two characters. These are two very powerful, strong women. Both of them look to be about 6 feet tall because they tower over everybody else they come up to. And they're both very powerful in their own way. They're coming into a new situation of relationship within the company, within the law firm, and they got to negotiate now, you know, their power and how they're going to interact, okay? So these two characters are dealing with trust issues. So finally, after a while, one comes to the other and says, I guess in order for me to get you to trust me, I need to tell you things about myself that caused me to be unable to trust others, okay? They're coming down to the basic truth, okay? So this speaks to the fact that our inability to trust has its origin in life experiences buried deep within us. And likewise, our inability to love unconditionally has its origin in life experiences buried deep within us. So this brings us to the God love demonstrated by Jesus. God love, or pure love, is love without condition, because it has no perception that is altered by conditions. Now, for note takers, let me say that again, okay? God love, or pure love, is love without conditions, because it has no perception that is altered by conditions. But on the other hand, the love that flows from the individual ego is love based largely on an individual's perception of the fulfillment of predefined conditions. In other words, we are usually most capable of expressing love when the conditions and people surrounding us meet with our approval, and our approval is usually based on our perception of what works for us and what does not, okay? And again, not knocking this, because this is just the way we are. As I said earlier, this is the way we have been indoctrinated, okay? Indoctrinated on several different levels. So again, from a human perspective, this makes perfect sense, okay? You know, which is why it's so difficult for us to break, you know, free of the confines of our ego. It's hard to break free because we've been well indoctrinated to think and be that way. Pure love, however, flows naturally from the unlimited source that it is. Surrounding conditions have no effect on it. God love gives definition to conditions. Conditions do not give definition to God. And the key point to grasp here is that God love flows out of an endless source of love that is always the same, regardless of the condition or circumstances. So God love is not and cannot be manipulated by the conditions of the moment. Let me say that again. God love is not and cannot be manipulated by the conditions of the moment. Ego love, on the other hand, is manipulated moment by moment, experience by experience. It is perishable and unstable because it is usually dependent on the conditions under which it was established. Boy, this would be a good, I'm just hoping folks are taking notes and wanted to have discussion about this in the Zoom fellowship, you know. So, you know, and again, whereas God love is perpetual and strong and maintains its quality regardless of the nature of the conditions surrounding it, God love cannot be changed. So Easter is about awakening to remember that in our true state, in our natural state, the unconditional love that is God is what we are capable of expressing in our natural state. Or as the Course in Miracles might say, in our right mind. Because in theory, the Course in Miracles says we're insane. We're not in our right mind. Okay, and that is what Jesus was trying to teach us, that Easter is about resurrecting to the truth that we are here to learn how to become vessels through which the love that God is can freely flow regardless of person, circumstance, or condition. Okay, so now the dictionary definition of resurrection means to bring back into practice, use, or recognition. Okay. That's it, right? The dictionary definition of resurrection means to bring back into practice, use, or recognition. The metaphysical definition of the word resurrection from the Revealing Word says that the resurrection is a restoring of the mind and body to their original state. Okay. Now, only way to bring unconditional love back into practice and use it is for us to wake up and remember who we really are, and what our true purpose really is. So we will not fully awaken until we are ready and willing to allow spiritual principle to integrate and reshape our ego perception. Okay? We will not fully awaken until we are ready and willing to be restored to our natural original state. That is the reason for this cyclical observation process of watching what's going on inside of you and how it's responding to what's going outside of you and vice versa, okay? So the crucifixion experience occurs when the ego continues to try to hold its ground. Now, let me say that again. The crucifixion process occurs when the ego continues to try to hold its ground. And we will experience this inner turmoil for as long as we try to hold on to old beliefs and fears and unforgiving thoughts, okay? Because, you know, we're trying to hold on to that. At the same time, we're trying to, you know, move into the spiritual life. And that's where the struggle comes in. So the way to end the suffering of the crucifixion is to earnestly do as Jesus did. He surrendered and cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit." And for note takers, that's Luke 23:46. Or as we have been saying, simply, I let go and let God. I let go and I let God. Okay. However, our personal ego by itself has great difficulty even understanding the concept of total surrender. Think about that question. Our personal ego by itself has great difficulty even comprehending and understanding this concept of total surrender. How do I totally surrender? And even when the ego discovers God, it does not easily seek to surrender itself to or make way for God in our mind, heart, or spirit. Okay? So we discover the ideas about God, but we don't really surrender to that process. Rather, what the ego, our ego tries to do is it tries to add God to itself for its own comfort and self-gratification. Again, this is not condemnation. This is the way we've been indoctrinated. Okay? So we love to use the statement, oh, God is so wonderful in what he just did for me, or what he did in my life. But as we have studied, it is not what God does for you that is so powerful and worthy of praise. Rather, it's what God is able to do through you that is powerful and worthy of praise. So it was the power and presence of God working through Jesus that the sick and afflicted were healed, the hungry were fed, the blind were made to see. Okay? And Jesus knew that. He knew that he was not doing it himself. His ego was not doing it, but he was surrendering to the process moving through him. So the greatest quality that we can attribute to Jesus was his ability to let God, to let go and let God be God through him. Okay? No matter what the circumstance or what his first inclination may have been, he quickly came around to letting go of what he thought was right and opening himself up to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct his efforts. So just think about and try to imagine what it would be like, feel like, to reach a state of consciousness where you can willingly say, Father, into your hands I commit this situation, and then totally let it go. Okay? Now, remember, it is not that you will not be doing anything. When we say totally let go, you don't just, you know, not do anything. You're remaining open and receptive, okay? Because following that letting go, when you can really let go, you'll receive the guidance you need to move forward, okay? And it's not necessarily just going to come through you. Things are going to happen, can also happen around you. But when you look at them, you know, that cyclical observation, internal, external, you look at me, you go, wow, that's the answer, or that's the way I should be going, or that's what should have been happening, okay? But just as it was explained about the cult, and last week, you know, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the colt. As we talked about in last week's lesson, you have to try it. Try letting go. You know, you will have to put God to the test and keep doing it until you come to believe that it works. Okay? As we read in James 1:12, it says, blessed are the ones who persevere under trial. But once they have been approved, they will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed are those who persevere under the trial. So the trial is you letting go, trusting that the process is going to work. And then once you've been approved means that you got it. Okay, it's been happening, now you got it. Okay, and once that happens, you'll receive that crown of life. All right, so... The resurrection takes place within us every time we become willing to roll the stone of old, negative, fearful beliefs away and raise our conscious minds out of the tomb of spiritual ignorance and up to Jesus' realization of the perpetual indwelling life that connects us with God life. And it's important to note that God does not crucify. God does not crucify. God does not crucify because God does not condemn. And this is what Jesus was trying to demonstrate and teach. God is the immutable, constant, enduring, incorruptible, unchanging law of love. And God's law of love cannot be broken, not even by God. So through our efforts of spiritual study and prayer, we are now learning the truth about ourselves. And conflict is escalating within us, okay? The battle between what we're coming to know to be true and what we previously believed to be true, in order to be free to fully embrace the true word of God, we must resolve the conflict that rages within us. And the complete resolution of the conflict within us can only come by way of crucifixion or crossing out of the erroneous thoughts that have become fixed states in our mind. So even Jesus had some level of conflict with him in him as he worked towards complete surrender to spirit. He gave us the mystical words that began the crucifixion process. Not my will, but thine be done. So when we can say these words with conviction and supreme confidence, not my will, but thine be done, the crucifixion will begin. the ego with all of its wounds and fears and unforgiving feelings, will be brought into the healing, comforting embrace of God, and the resolution of the inner conflict will begin. And when we freely submit to the process, it means the beginning of the end of pain and suffering. The ego will no longer be allowed to run rampant in, you know, executing its own will. The willfulness of the ego is replaced by a willingness to be a channel for the love of God. So when you let go and let God, God will serve humanity through you. Okay? And, you know, again, that's what we have been seeing. These people might have not been saying that God is serving humanity through me, but we have seen so many of them in the last couple of years who have given themselves just completely to help out in very challenging situations. So in summary, the crucifixion resurrection experience begins as a personal decision to willingly let go and let God be God in your life. God cannot initiate the crucifixion, nor does God participate in the crucifixion. God cannot initiate nor participate in the crucifixion because God had no part in judging or condemning us. God can only participate in the resurrection or lifting up our individual consciousness. Okay? That's where God comes in. However, it is comforting and important to note that as we're going through this process, our elder brother and teacher and way shower walks with us every step of the way, showing us the way through the experiences we're going through. So let's never forget his words of what he promised us in Matthew 28:20. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the close of the age." And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Now let's prepare for our meditation, have an Easter meditation. Please take some time now to relax your bodies and your minds. Breathe deeply and exhale fully, remembering that each inhale and exhale is from that divine presence within we call God. Continue to relax, and if you like, you may close your eyes to eliminate any distractions. Please listen to this Easter meditation and take these words as your very own. Dear God, by raising Jesus the Christ, you conquered the power of death and opened for me the way to eternal life. Let my celebration today raise me up and renew my life by the Spirit that is within me. May the light of the Christ shine continually in me to drive away all darkness. May the Christ presence, the morning star that knows no setting, find its light ever burning in my heart. God gives light to all creation and lives and reigns over me forever. This Easter, I leave behind limiting thoughts and beliefs, and I am made new through my awakening union with God mind. The great I am of my being rises anew from the ashes and tomb of all I leave behind. And now we will pause from the sound of my voice and go into that secret place of the Most High where you pray, receive answers to your prayers, and remain still. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning, and you have answered them as you always do. This is a new day for us all. We use it to love one another, forgive one another, lift one another up, show compassion, and be who we were created to be. We are grateful in the name and nature of Jesus the Christ, our elder brother and way-shower, and so it is. Amen. When you are ready, come back to your surroundings.
Thanks, Anne. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. And we're truly thankful for all the offerings and blessings and donations you've been sending to Unity Center of Light to keep us going through this very interesting time as we decide what our next move is going to be in terms of service and so forth. So with that in mind, we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And now you have light notes.
Yes. Light notes for today, Sunday, April the 17th. I had the 15th on here. Yeah. Next Sunday, April 24th, Lily Sandberg will be our guest speaker. Her talk title is, What About If I Don't Want to Let Go? And our musicians for that day are Nina Gibson and Leanne Gioli, so don't miss this service. And the Women of Unity will be having a potluck at the home of Brenna McDonough on Saturday, May the 14th, with a rain date of May 21st. The time is 2:30 p.m., and we ask that you email me, Pamela, at pamosby@msn.com to let me know what entree you will be sharing. This event will be in the backyard of Brenna's home, and you can be seated safely apart from others. Please let me know by May the 7th. That's the deadline. Other details will be provided when you contact me. Thank you very much.
All right. So this is that time.
Yes. This is the time when we bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, let's go right into our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, it's been great bringing you this service today, and we look forward to seeing you in the Zoom fellowship. Otherwise, enjoy your Easter day with your family, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.